This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, along with...
I'm Rick Moore.
All right. And in today's news, there's an MBTA hearing held in Lynn last night.
Well, in Gloucester, the firefighters' contract comes up for question again.
All right. So here we are on a Tuesday, and we have Ted Betancourt, the mayor of the city of Peabody, will be joining us in just a little while. Rick did an interview with him yesterday, so that'll be on our program here. Also, there's coyote stories in the city of Lynn as well. Rick, you talked about coyotes last week. Probably nothing bigger here on the North Shore than this coyote story, but there's a woman in the city of Lynn who is reporting that she's seen a number of the coyotes. I saw three or four run up the hill, so there's a pack of coyotes, if you will. The headline in the item today, Coyote Ugly in West Lynn. So the coyotes are not just in Gloucester, but now they're in other parts of the North Shore as well. Probably not a surprise, but apparently we're just getting some press on it now.
I wonder how many coyotes there are in the area. You know, like I said, I first time I saw one, I mistook it for a dog. So I wonder if people see coyotes, you know, and think that maybe they're dogs and there's a problem around here.
Well, they kind of have that. I wouldn't say it's unmistakable, but they have kind of a walk that's a little bit different than a regular dog, I'm thinking. But anyways, I haven't seen one myself in quite a while. So, you know, what do I know? There's another wildlife story here. We talked about snowy owls at one point, too. And there was a snowy owl on Sunday on the Nahant Causeway. So they're around now. They're back on the North Shore, different spots around the coast. And one was up on the light pole, drawing a lot of attention from bird watchers in the area. So it's nice that the snowy owls are back. It's amazing. They're amazing birds, creatures, if you will. And so they're back in the area and have been back for a little while, as some people have been reporting.
Well, Bill, in Gloucester, the fire station problem is rearing its ugly head again, as they say. Ray Lamont has a story in the headlines that the Magnolia Station has been closed 20 to 25% of the time in the recent days, and apparently there's a problem with funding. It's been open, therefore, for 75 to 80% since mid-December, but there's going to be a discussion tonight at City Hall regarding the funding of the fire stations. There was a problem with the outlying fire stations for years in trying to keep them manned because of budgeting, and overtime kept some of them open when they needed to be. But a new firefighters contract back in 2014 enabled more staffing. That contract is running out. Money is tight once again. So there's a meeting tonight at City Hall, presentation by Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith to the City Council regarding staffing and fire station coverage issues at tonight's City Council meeting. And in a related story, Ray Lamont also reports that the fire department is asking for $39,000 to get new air packs. Apparently, their air packs are old. They've been in use for more than 10 years now, and they need to be replaced.
You know, I don't think we really I mentioned the MBTA meeting in Lynn, the public hearing. They have another one scheduled in Brockton coming up in the days ahead. But the one in Lynn was at Bree Junior High School, which is right down on the same road as the new Lynn Classical High School is. I say the new Lynn Classical High School, but it's not right downtown where the old one was, right on the common. And, you know, if you're a T-rider, getting to Breed is really not the easiest place to get to. I mean, it's probably the least easiest place to get to in the city of Lynn if you ride the T. You could take a bus, I'm sure, to get close to there. But on the other hand, it just didn't seem like the place to have a hearing on the T. But anyway, that's what they did. They had it last night at Breed, Breed Junior High School, rather. And, you know, clearly there's just the give and take on the T saying they want to, have these scheduled increases and so on, fare increases in order to pay for the upgrades that need to take place, which they do need to take place, and have it in a planned, scheduled way. But the rider's pushing back, obviously, from the fee increases. So I guess as expected at that Bree Junior High School MBTA hearing, public hearing last night. Now, Rick, there's also a story today in the news out on TV this morning where more bomb threats. These are in Weymouth today, or came in last night, and they're not targeted at schools, but they're targeted at, I think, the police station, maybe some other town buildings in the town of Weymouth. So that's kind of, That'll be an interesting one to see how that one shakes out and what that one's all about. I get the ones for schools. Could be a disgruntled student wanting to miss an exam or something like that, but this is a little bit different. So we'll see what this is all about.
Yep, and an educational issue in the paper, Common Core ballot fight heads to court. I don't know what your stand is on Common Core, Bill, but there is an initiative in Massachusetts that they want a group wants a ballot question on a referendum to get rid of Common Core, and now there's another group that's fighting to rescind that ballot question and keep Common Core. So it looks like it's going to be a battle in the State House about Common Core, and we'll stay tuned on that one. I don't know how you feel about it, but I've got very strong feelings about it, so we'll see where this one ends up.
All right, and let's see. I got a couple of other business stories here that have popped up just to share here. The Hilton Hotel chain is announcing a new set of hotels, which the headline in the item today says they're aimed at attracting younger guests. But basically what it is Hilton, which is known for kind of their luxury accommodations, are building these, going to be building these hotels, which will have like 80 rooms or something like that. And they'll be priced maybe under $100, $90 to $100 per night. But I think that might be appeal to a lot more people other than just young people. But they're probably these little cookie cutter building structures that are going to go up, and they're going to be built as inexpensively as possible, which raises some questions, I think. That's what it sounded like in the article. They didn't say it quite in those terms. But in other words, to make profit, you got to build this little structure. It's got to have all these rooms. It's got to be cubed out and whatever. So they're looking to maybe change to or at least add on to their business in the hotel business. So there's a business story there. I think what we should do, Rick, we should take a quick break, bring on Mayor Betancourt, come back. We've got a couple of other stories to talk about, and then we can also touch on some sports because we do have a basketball game tonight. It will be North Reading playing host to Hamilton Wenham boys action, so we'll talk more about that and some other things just ahead. But just ahead right now, let's go to your interview that you did yesterday with Peabody Mayor Betancourt.
At the office of Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt, I'm Rick Moore with MSO News Sports, and Mr. Mayor, once again, thank you for seeing me today.
I'm happy to be here with you, Rick. Happy to be here.
Thank you very much. And let's get started right away. Last time we talked about upgrades in the city, changing in the downtown area and so on, and purchasing properties. So what's the status of that now?
Yes, and certainly it's been a central part of my administration. The work we've been doing the last couple of years is to try to continue the work in our downtown, revitalize our downtown area. And I've identified two properties that we think can be a big part of our future plans for the downtown, specifically trying to make an area that's a destination area to bring people to the downtown, to go to some of the great restaurants and shops that we do have downtown currently. So last week we closed on a property. It's 12 Washington Street. Washington is right off of Main. It's the major intersection off of Main Street. And it's the site of the old St. Paul's Church. And we purchased that last week. It was from our community development funds, and that is we're looking at some different uses for that site, potentially a community center, maybe some city offices. We also need some additional space for city offices, but the big part of that property has 55 parking spaces, and that's a big deal in order to utilize that area. The other site we're looking at, and we've begun eminent domain proceedings on a property at 2 Washington Street. It's the O'Shea Building, also known as the Betancourt Furniture Building, and I'm going in front of the council on Thursday evening in order to get a vote to approve the request for eminent domain.
Okay.
So it's a, we think, two key parcels that will really play a big role in our future downtown.
Are there committees that have moved that forward for you?
Yes, I've gone to the Community Preservation Committee, which is the committee that I'm asking to fund the purchase of the O'Shea Building, the 2 Washington Street Building. I've also gone to the Community Development Authority here in the city to get the funds for the St. Paul's Building. So those two properties we purchased not out of city funds, but out of grant and other city opportunities, which are very important because there is a lot of work that has to take place with those buildings. But we see the potential spot for a children's museum collaboration with some of maybe the colleges in the area, and we think that could be a pretty spectacular place.
Excellent.
I had the great pleasure of working with another Betancourt over at Peabody High School, but you mentioned Betancourt Furniture?
It's not, those must be the rich Betancourts because they're, it's not my family. You know, as many know, there are a lot of Betancourts in the city. You know, I'm related to many, and particularly now that I've become mayor, I think I'm related to even more. I found out. But no, this is, this building goes back 30, 40 years. There was one time a Betancourt Furniture, but not my family.
Okay. The Sergeant Betancourt. Wasn't there a Peabody police officer?
There were a few.
Several. Okay.
Several, yeah.
In your family?
In my family,
okay.
Yes. My father, a couple of uncles, my cousin. Oh, yeah, there was
all
quite
right.
A bit of us.
Okay.
All right. And in our pregame warm-up, you talked about, before I get to that, so will that be adding another shovel to your collection over here?
I hope so. I'm hoping to add. I have four shovels. I'm hoping to add to that. And, yeah, to me, the shovels just represent projects, activity, moving forward, taking positive steps. So more shovels, the better.
Okay. All right. Now, what about the so-called pipeline?
Yeah, that's been a big issue in the city now, off and on for the greater part of a year. Kinder Morgan, which is affiliated with Tennessee Gas, they're looking to put a pipeline in West Peabody, right along the area over at Glen Drive, which is a very healthy, strong neighborhood. And I've been very strong in my opposition to the pipeline. Right now, the application is in with FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I've been trying to get meetings with FERC to set up, and I've been unable to do so. FERC is not setting meetings up in this area to discuss this pipeline, but I have major concerns. First and foremost is the quality of life for the neighbors. The proposed pipeline is going to be very, very close to the backyards of a number of Peabody residents. We also have our bike path, Peabody Independence Greenway, which is very popular. That'll be dug up for the installation of this pipeline. But safety concerns as well. We have a quarry, very active quarry, Aggregate Industries, that is just, it's going to be literally feet from this pipeline and is blasting there every week. There's also the Ipswich.
Blasting next to a gas pipeline.
Next to a gas pipeline.
Okay.
There's an Ipswich River watershed, which is a part of our drinking source that is not too far from this proposed pipeline as well. So for many factors, I've been adamantly opposed to this. And, you know, there's a lot of money at stake, and, you know, a lot of times I feel that, you know, we're David versus Goliath on this when they're throwing so much money at this potential pipeline. But I think my job is to support our neighbors and fight for their quality of life. So I've been very vocal in my opposition.
What's the next step in the process?
The next step is it's being reviewed right now by FERC, and that review can take up to 6 to 9 months. I expect that we'll probably have a decision in probably by the summertime. We've been trying to meet with FERC. Again, they've refused. I have letters from them just saying that they're not going to have a meeting in the Peabody area. I wasn't even saying it has to be in Peabody. I was saying it could be in Danvers, Linfield, anywhere in this area because we're all affected. Peabody probably the most because it's right near a neighborhood. The last meeting was in Dracut. They did it on a Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And who can make it over to a meeting on Tuesday at 5 o'clock from the neighborhood? So that's been a source of frustration. But we're working with our representatives. We're working with there's a Peabody Citizens United group. That's a neighborhood group in opposition to this as well. It's led by Bob Croce. And it's something that we're just going to keep trying to talk about what's taking place in Peabody and see what we can do.
How's Peabody 100 coming along?
Peabody 100 has come along great. We're working on probably the biggest aspect to this is our parade. And that's probably what's required the most work. But we're getting bands, we're getting floats ready, we're getting all kinds of activities. A lot of fun. And we're obviously working on fundraising and things of that nature.
We just had our first, not a major snowstorm, but shovelable snow, I guess. And it leads me to ask you the question about emergency services in the city. I know some cities have a center where their communications are, police, fire, and so on. And I know that you have a phone hotline. So what's the status of that, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, we have an emergency management director, is at Chris Tye. Also works with our Peabody Fire Department chief, Steve Pasden, as well. And we have our emergency services Whenever there's an emergency, we meet at the Department of Public Services. That's on 50 Farm Ave. Beautiful building. It's kind of a central location in the city. And that's where we have all the equipment set up to handle our storms. We've had to meet there a couple times in the past. We were under a flooding warning back a couple years ago, and that's where we met to prepare for that, to organize and make sure all our resources are in place. But also major storms, major snow events, that's our meeting location.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to mention, Mr. Mayor, in, coming up the next couple of weeks?
No, things are moving along pretty well. It's so much right now. I'm sure every mayor, town manager would say the same thing. So much of our work right now is just handling weather and being ready for snow, being ready for, you know, whatever the weather will bring us. So I'm hoping for the best. I can't go through another winter like last year, Rick.
None of us can. Contract negotiations in progress?
Yeah, things are actually going very well on that front. We've settled with the police department. We've settled with the fire department. We have preliminary agreements with our AFSCME units, which is all the city workers, DPS. We have our contract with the librarian settled, and I'm very hopeful that we're moving very, very well with the teachers.
Excellent.
All right, that's Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
All right, welcome back to North Shore Today. I wanted, you know, last night there was a forum which I did not watch. You know, I tend to watch all these presidential forums. Maybe I'm a little punished myself here a little bit, but they had a forum, and this one is in New Hampshire, I believe, and they had the Democratic candidates, but it was a town meeting, but they all came up and spoke individually. So I did not watch it. I flipped it on. I listened to Bernie for just a couple of minutes and then flipped back, and Martin O'Malley was on. So they have these things, but I'm struck. There's an article in today's Wall Street Journal which kind of highlights some of the things that we're into this horse race thing, and everything that we see in the polls, today's polls, we think, well, that's the way it's going to be, but that's not always the way it is. So he has six ways presidential race may soon shift. I'm just going to highlight these very, very quickly for you, or some of them here. And this is all, some of it sounds very obvious once I read it, but voters decide late, especially in the first states. Exit polls in recent election cycles suggest that it's normal for 40% of Iowa voters to make up their minds in the last week. We're just in the last week now. There is a difference between shopping and buying. So that's shopping for a candidate, looking at a candidate, maybe telling a pollster you like that candidate, opposed to actually voting for that candidate. Voters change their minds. Journal reporters interview with voters have indicated that all sorts of seemingly incongruous choices are being made, the kind that could be made easily. So in other words, I make a decision this way, but I could easily change my mind the other way. And X factors come into play, world events, blah, blah, blah. Let me, perceptions can also become reality. Now listen to this one here. Bill Clinton in 1992, who won less than 3% of the vote in Iowa and finished second in New Hampshire, yet because he came close in New Hampshire to a virtual favorite son, such as Paul Tsongas at the time out of Massachusetts, after a whiff of personal scandal along the way, he successfully portrayed his loss there as a comeback, and he was on his way. So you never know what's going to happen, and so I think we're still up for a few surprises down the road in this presidential race.
Hey, keep an eye on Burlington tonight, too, Bill. I guess Trump has overbooked a rally up there in Burlington. 20,000 tickets have been sold for 6,000 seats, and I saw a post somewhere on a news article on Facebook this morning that a lot of the Burlington residents who plan on going are going to protest Mr. Trump. And I've seen articles and videos, actually, of some of the protesters who have been ejected from Trump rallies recently. And it's not a very pretty thing to watch. So we should be keeping our eye on your old hometown tonight.
Yeah. He was up there a couple of weeks ago. It's the same thing happened then. Like he was at the Flynn Theater or Flynn Center, whatever they call it now. But yeah, they sold a bunch of tickets, and or they don't sell them; they hand them out, I guess. And then there was some word that some of the Sanders people had picked them up, so they decided, well, we'll just get out a whole bunch of more tickets, so we have our people in the rally and not all of Bernie's people in the rally. So I think that's what they did a week or so ago. But that was like a week or two ago up in Burlington. Well, let's talk a little sports here now. We've got a basketball game. Two teams that are ranked in the Herald's weekly divisional polls, Hamilton-Wenham and North Reading, are playing boys basketball tonight at North Reading, and we'll have that game for you at 7 o'clock tonight from North Reading High School. So that ought to be interesting. Mike DiMarino, the coach at Hamilton-Wenham High School, they're coming off that state championship a year ago under Coach Hoke, new coach this year. And Joe Casey, long-time coach at North Reading High School, will have his team. They're having a great year this year. So it looks like that's the game of the night, and we'll be there for that game starting, it'll pregame show probably about 6:45 tonight here on MSONewsSports.com.
Big game last night, Bill, at Salem State. Marblehead winning 3-0 over Winthrop. Marblehead now 12-0-1, but they're 6-0-1 in the Northeast Conference North, and they've got a huge game coming up on Saturday. But they also have a game on Wednesday, but Peabody challenging for the top spot. I met Joe Connell last night at Salem State. Great to meet him. He was sitting and talking with Marblehead coach Bob Jackson, and between them they've got something like 22 wins and zero losses, so...
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I did talk to him, and I met the Linfield coach, assistant coach last.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Those
two... big week.
Okay, and I think that's pretty much it here. We for the program here today. Just to remind you that you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, and also follow us on Twitter at msonewsports. I actually did not mention the videos that we have up on the post today, and let's see if I can remember which they are. We've got, speaking of presidential politics, we have a very young Ted Cruz. So this one came up somehow or other. He must be like a college student. It's maybe even a little creepy, but anyways, there you go. That's up there as well, but you deserve it. We also put up the Just for Laughs, one of their segments. That's a Montreal kind of a hidden camera show. Without any language in it at all, because it's a bilingual community. So that's kind of a neat program, kind of some funny stuff. We put some stuff up there in the past, and we also have the opening bit. Tina Fey has mocked, Governor Palin from Alaska for a number of years now, since the 2008 election. But, it's funny. Governor Palin is beginning to sound more and more like Tina Fey, so... So when when she announced this stuff last week with Trump, I'm thinking, wow, that's really not the Sarah Palin that I remember. That's the Tina Fey. And so anyways, on Saturday Night Live this past week, there was Tina Fey, of course, back to reprise her role as Governor Sarah Palin. So we have that for you as well. And Donald Trump is in there as well, at the side of the screen, not the real Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is there commenting. So anyways, we got that for you. So those are things, you've got to see those things. So anyways, that's what we have up on our videos today.
I'm speechless, Bill.
Yeah, there you go. That's it with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell on msonewsports.com. This is North Shore Today.